From the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves, get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This portion of the show is sponsored by Clemens Painting. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did, and you know what? I couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076, or you can also visit Clemens Painting on Facebook. We all experience fear, but what if we could stop being controlled by fear and make it work for us? Award-winning author and destiny coach Ariel Vox was not even 2 years old when she and her mother were in a car accident that left her mother in a coma for months. As a result, every decision she made during the first 40 years of her life was defined by fear. And then she decided to stop being controlled by fear and leverage it into a successful career. She found a way to turn fear into fierce, building a business that sold for seven figures after just, get this, only 2 years. She's here tonight to talk about her new book, From Fear to Fierce, How to Turn Failure into Success. I bet you have a friend or two who's struggling with fear and in some way would love to hear some inspiration. So please pass on this episode and don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Big welcome to you, Ariel. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, Francesca. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
So you say that your earliest memory of life is fear, and that's understandable given what you went through when you were just a baby. Do you have any memories at all of that accident?
I don't remember the accident in particular, but I remember my very first memory in life. I woke up from a night dream. It was a nightmare, and I was full of fear. That's what I remember. That's my very first memory of life.
And so how do you connect that to the accident that your mother had? Or it was both you and your mom, is that right?
Yes. So we were walking on the street. We were having just a lovely, beautiful walk in the sunshine. I was eating plums. Then there was a car. There was a motorbike in front of it. And because the car was speeding, they slammed the brakes so not to hit the motorbike. And I'm being told this story, obviously. And the car spun, so it hit my mom in the head. With her maternal instinct, she pushed me out of the road. So I had a very big blue mark, a hand mark on my leg. And then afterwards, everything started. Helicopters took her to the hospital. How much of the chaos I saw, I don't know. But my grandfather told me the story. He held me in his hands, and he said, I died. Maybe I didn't die, maybe I just passed out, but for a long time I was gone. And then when I came back to consciousness, I couldn't speak for a while at all. Then afterwards I was stuttering. But what happened afterwards is even more important, because at some point I started talking, but I was scared. And anytime I tried to express myself, it would be coming out of fear, including in my relationships with people. I was a very strong learner when I was at school, but this is because I was able to internalize. Because of the fear, I was closed to the outside world, but I was open for the inside world. So this developed a very big strength inside of me, the strength of learning, the strength of finding great ideas inside, mm-hmm. finding the light inside. But outside, I was a very scared person. I couldn't communicate. Like if I'm in a company with people, I wouldn't talk. I remember, I'll tell you something personal. I remember the very first time when I fell in love. Mm-hmm. This, you know, teenage years. Mm. And I was so excited, this boy, he was so handsome mm-hmm. in my eyes. Mm-hmm. But when we sit together, I just couldn't say a word. He would try to communicate with me and I just stay and I'm quiet. And this didn't go anywhere because I was just too tense when I was around him or even around any other people.
What were you afraid of?
I don't know. It was like something grabbing my stomach, like something grabbing my brain. Like my mind would go blank.
And did you seek help for that as you were growing up, where you were, you know, obviously you said you didn't talk for a while, then you stuttered, then you had all sorts of fear. So what did you do to resolve that to the point where you became a super success? Like where was the transition?
Yeah, when I was very, very little, before I remember, my grandparents, they took me to a natural healer.
Mm.
So what did I do? I don't know. I don't remember this, but I'm being told this by my mom. So this is the first thing that they did. So then I stopped stuttering afterwards. I don't know if it's related or not.
What kind of a natural healer? Was it a homeopathic doctor, a naturopathic doctor? What was it? What type of it?
No, it was more like someone doing stones. Prediction with ashes, things like this. I am not fully aware. I am not recommending it. I'm just saying what I know has happened in my life. But what helped me was because I was so curious about life. I really loved life. I loved learning. I wanted to explore. So I was constantly studying. Like other children, you would see them on the street and they would play, and I would be at home reading books. We didn't have internet back at that time. But I'll be reading books.
Lucky you. they call it fake book now rather than Facebook, and I couldn't agree more. But anyway, okay, right? Now, I think social media, that's another whole story, but go ahead.
And then you would always see me looking at the sky, especially at night. I knew the name of every star on the sky.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's a form of meditation, no?
Yeah, I would say so. But it developed a real strength in me because I learned to look inside. At the same time, outside remained a big weakness for me. And now when I'm on my journey toward the purpose in my life, although we have several purposes in our lives, it's not just one. The main purpose is our transformation, our growth. And the many purposes are only there to help us grow as a person. But now when I'm on this journey of self-discovery and self-transformation, I discover that actually my weaknesses were my purpose in life is because I have to speak to be able to reach people. Mm-hmm. I come to great ideas, which I can put in my book, but just in the book, no one will know about these ideas. I have to speak. I have to be brave. I have to overcome my fears. And also bear in mind, I'm coming from a communist background. So for people in the Western world, you would not be able to understand our mindset. First of all, we were trained to be factory workers.
Mm-hmm.
We had very strong economy in regards to production, but we were not allowed to have businesses. We were absolutely not allowed. We were not even allowed to wear jeans because this is West.
And where did you grow up? Can you tell our listeners where you grew up?
I grew up in Bulgaria.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in Bulgaria. And late. But it remained in our brains because we were not allowed to think in a business way. I remember when I started, after the communism failed, when I started working for a creative agency. It was just me and my boss, and he did not even show up at work. I was there from start to end, and I was doing the entire work, every single task, every single job. There was nothing that he was doing.
Oh, but at least you didn't have to get him coffee.
But I didn't have the confidence and the strength to start my own creative agency, even though I was doing the whole work.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I'm capable of doing it. Uh-huh. I just couldn't switch my brain in a way to think I can do it. I wanted to do it, but I just didn't have the courage to do it. And I remember very clearly, one day we went to, we had to produce like mini advertising houses for a fair. And I was there with him and his friend because it was only 3 days. We had a lot of work. So both of them, they were artists for many years. And I was new to the job. And I was doing, they were working together. I was working on my own. And I did double the job that they did together. And yet, I didn't have the confidence to do it on my own, to start my own business.
So how did you make that transition? We talked at the beginning that you started with, as a very young girl, your mother and you were in an accident, and that really kind of froze you up to the point where you stuttered, you didn't talk. You when you fell in love at a young age, you couldn't communicate. Mm-hmm. So where did that transition, when and how did that transition occur, going from being completely fearful and almost like speechless, if you will, to having a business that you sold for an enormous amount of money in just 2 years? I mean, when people start businesses, sometimes they say it takes, you know, the first 3 years to even like show any kind of profit. So, and you had already made money and a profit to the point where you could sell it. So what was the impetus that changed all that fear into from fearful to fierce? Where did that transition occur and how? And do we need to take a break, Gwen? Yeah, we do. Okay, so we're going to hold that thought. You can marinate on that question. We are going to take a short break and hear from our listeners. And when we come back, I'm sure our listeners would absolutely love to hear your answer. So stay with us here, listeners. Don't go anywhere.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry. Family-owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I am speaking with Ariel Vox. Ariel, welcome back to you tonight.
Hi, Francesca.
So prior to the break, I asked you, how did you go from super fearful to the point where you couldn't speak, you were stuttering, you were speechless, basically, when you fell in love, to not only starting a business, but making a pile of money and then selling it just 2 years later? Like, what was that pivotal point that made you say, I can do this?
So there is a whole journey of transformation from after the accident until I had the business and I sold it and etc. But I'll tell you first the end, and then I'll come back to the beginning.
Okay.
Then there's, I heard one video. I heard one simple video, 1 hour video, where a lady told me that she can teach me how to do this kind of business. It was 1 hour video, and it completely changed me. But I was already prepared for this 1 hour, because if it happened 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been ready.
Well, that's right. Sometimes when you're ready, there's a teacher appears, right?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. So I was prepared for it, and opportunity needs preparation, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it was one simple video which changed my belief, internal belief. And in my book, I speak about the difference between disbelief and discouragement. It's a big difference.
Well, say that one more time, please. Could you repeat that, please?
So the difference between disbelief,
oh, disbelief,
and discouragement.
Ah,
yeah. Because
okay.
When you disbelieve, you still want and you still desire the thing you want. And you need just tiny match to light the fire, and you're ready to burn. But when you have disappointment and discouragement, that's much harder to fight. Because when you try and try and try harder, and you fail and fail and fail, you get to the point of discouragement. And then at one point, you stop wanting the thing you wanted before. So that's a big difference. With me, I was on this road of transformation, and then when I was ready, I heard this video, and that's how it all started. But what happened during my transformation? So when I was 13, I was led by my curiosity. I wanted to study piano. So I left home, mm-hmm. and I went to study piano. This meant that at the age of 13, I had to take care of myself, my hygiene, relationships with people. I have to fight against life and against everything that happens to me on my own.
Wait, how did you do that at 13? Oh, because was your mother not alive?
My mom was alive, but we had this kind of like, I don't know, what would you call it? Is it like boarding school?
Oh.
I studied at school, and there was a place where there were a lot of children, like 150 children living in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like teachers who took care of us and made sure we are safe, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We lived under very difficult circumstances. We didn't have hot water. We had only one bathroom in the whole building for all the 150 children.
Oh, God.
And this bathroom was locked. It was locked, and we had to queue for the key. So at the age of 13, I had to discover how to solve all these problems. And you grow, you mature at young age.
Well, they do say that doesn't kill you will make you stronger, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Well,
absolutely.
I don't know if I always believe that, but that's okay. Yeah, but anyway, okay, so go ahead.
Well, this experience in life, when difficulties happen, you don't actually notice a lot of them because you've been there, you've done this, you're stronger mm-hmm. than this. So you only fight on a level that you... For example, I'll give you another example. When I was, maybe about 20 years old, I started studying computer design, interior design, video design, music design, all of these different skills. And then I did not proceed with this. I did not actually get a career in any one of these skills. And late in life, I thought I wasted maybe my time. Maybe I should have done something with it because I had talent in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I'm in this artistic expression, which I am in now, these skills are really helpful. So yes, I did not become a movie editor or music editor, but I can edit my own videos, which is a massive thing. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do it. So every skill you get, including the skill to be stronger, the skill to be fearless, specific area, the skill to have fought a specific battle before, mm-hmm. and now when you meet the same enemy, you're not scared anymore of this enemy.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, you rose from the ashes, clearly.
Yeah.
What, Ariel, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say just one more thing in this direction, that because I studied piano, I started playing at concerts, including big halls.
Oh.
And when you play at big halls, you get used to... It's not talking, so I didn't have to speak in front of people, but I played.
Right.
I got used to being amongst people, presenting amongst people. So these are all things that helped me grow as a person. There were a lot more things later,
mm-hmm.
Including COVID. I was one of the very first people, maybe the first person in England who got it. And for 2.5 years, I didn't know if I'll survive. So then you fight fear of death, fear of what will happen to my family. And you fight all these fears one by one. And then you get to the point when you're ready for the next level. And then suddenly the light comes. Mm. God sends you whatever you need at the time.
Mm. That's right. Well, you definitely rose from the ashes, clearly. But I'd like to transition here and ask you, because I do think it's a meaningful and important, because there are, you know, many people who go through very difficult times, and some, you know, as I said, rise from the ashes, and others do not. And I always revert back to that I think that your parents' role in your life, being the first main relationship, your mother and your father, really... sets you on a certain path in life. And so I'm very curious, especially given that your mother was in a coma for quite some time, what are your memories of your mother? And first when she was incapacitated, but then as she recovered, what was your relationship after that would be part B of that question. And now, if she's alive.
Yes, she's alive. So I don't remember at all my mom being in a coma. I don't remember this.
Mm-hmm.
My first memories of my mom are very happy memories. My mom, she gave me everything that she, I mean, her love, her money, she was giving everything to me so I can follow my dreams. I couldn't dream for a better mom.
Are you an only child?
I'm an only child, yes.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know how spiritual you are, or your listeners, everyone knows, believe that that there is a spiritual world. And I personally believe that when my mom was in a coma, everybody who has come back from a coma and remembers it, they say that they were given a choice to come back or to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so beautiful, they always wanted to stay in heaven, but they decided to come back for a purpose. And I personally believe that my mom came back for me because she was gone.
Did she tell you that?
No, she didn't tell me. She remembers nothing. But what is very interesting is ever since the coma, she has never, ever had a night dream. Never.
Ever had a what? A night dream?
Night dream.
Oh, like a nightmare.
Dream at night.
Oh, she's never had any kind of dream at all?
Any dream at all, yes.
Oh.
And it's very weird for me because I dream all the time. And I have even prophetic dream. If I tell you I saw 9/11, I saw it 9 months in advance before it happened, and I saw the date. I saw the details of everything that happened.
Of 9/11?
9/11, 9 months before this, in December, I had a night dream. And I saw the building. Are you interested? Do you want me to tell you this?
Sure, yeah. It was only last week.
Yeah.
It was the anniversary of last week. I'm kind of curious. It goes a little bit, we're deterring a little bit from the conversation of fear, from going from fear to fearless. But we'll just keep that part kind of brief. But yeah, tell us a little bit. We'd be curious. I'm sure our listeners would be curious to hear.
Yeah, actually disconnected, because I had a question. If I saw this, why couldn't I do anything about it? So this is also related to fear, and I'll tell you at the end. But in my dream, it was the most vivid dream I've ever had. I saw the one skyscraper. I did not see two. I only saw one. And my eyes, they were exactly on the level where the airplane was. So I wasn't looking from below, and I wasn't looking from above. I was looking from the top part of the building where the airplane was.
And what do you attribute that dream to?
I honestly am not 100% sure of the answer, because at the end I saw Jesus, and he told me in my heart to pray for these people, because I saw people falling from the building, and at the end the building fell to the ground, and I saw the date written in the air, and I 100% knew this is 9/11. Absolutely 100%. I had no doubt about it. On the 10th of September, I did not eat all day, because I knew something very big would happen, but I did not know it would be something that big.
Why do you think that such a premonition like that?
That's exactly the question I've been asking myself for all this time, for all these years, and maybe about last month it was, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, when I heard recordings, real recordings of the people inside the airplane, and they were calling their families, leaving a message or something. And in the recording, they sounded really calm. They had absolutely no anxiety in their voice. And I'm thinking, maybe this was the goal. This was supposed to happen, but maybe I was supposed to help them not be scared and leave a beautiful love message to their loved ones, not a scared and anxious message that will leave them worried and never be able to, worried about what their relatives experienced in this airplane, if you see what I mean.
Ariel, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do need to take another short break. But when we come back, I would love to ask you, I know that it makes sense, obviously, that fear arises out of a traumatic experience, such as perhaps the one that you experienced with your mother. But I'm also curious if there are other places that fear is derived from. So listeners, stay with us here. You'll want to know the answer to that question from Ariel when we come back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next. Oh gosh, Debbie, my new puppy is pulling me in a million different directions. One day it's off to the groomers, the next it's the trainer. Between that and my job, my head is spinning.
Oh, Quinn, it sounds like you need a one-stop shop for all your pet care needs.
That is exactly what I need.
Well, then you should come down and see me and my team at Doggy Works. We offer daily dog daycare, walking, training, and grooming, all from one spot. We've got all the services you need to give your dog the best care it can get, all under one roof.
That sounds amazing. Where can I find you?
It's easy. We're located right on Route 14 in Pembroke, and we're open 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. And if you can't make it during the week, we're by appointment for grooming and training on Saturdays too. Your dog deserves the absolute best, so check us out at doggyworksllc.com or call us at 781-754-0329.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria's Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will. Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back, and I'm speaking with Ariel Vox, and she was in a terrible accident with her mom when she was just 2 years old, and she has gone from being super fearful to absolutely fierce, and she is our guest tonight, so welcome back to you, Ariel.
Hi, Francesca.
So, as I had said earlier, that it does make sense when there's a traumatic experience that obviously one would become fearful. I mean, it could be anything from, you know, a bad relationship that, you know, something that's really turned sour in a relationship that can make people fearless to go into yet another one. It can be an accident. It can be so many different things that can really kind of traumatize someone. And I understand that, but I'm curious as where else fear could possibly arise from. Or is it always a symptom of something greater that's happened?
Well, I have several things in mind here. One is fear comes because we are not present in the current moment. We always worry about the future. Mm-hmm. And that I have a lovely quote by Dale Carnegie, and he says, "Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday."
Wait, say that again. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a beautiful quote because this is what always defined my life. I always lived for the future.
Yeah.
I didn't live for the past. I didn't worry so much about the past. I learned from the past, but I always worried about the future. And I was always thinking, let me do this so in the future I can be well. But that's not the point. You live now. Now is the present. Now is the gift. Mm-hmm. And then we want predictability. But actually predictability is not so good for us. Because if you enter a dark room, a very dark room, slowly your eyes will start adjusting to the darkness and you'll start seeing. But if you go into a very bright room, actually you can become permanently blind because the light, when it's too much, blinding.
Right.
So it's better to know less rather than to know more about the future. And when you know less, the darkness is actually protection because you are not able to see the things that will scare you now. They will not scare you after 1 year time.
But you almost sound like you're clairvoyant.
They will scare you.
It almost sounds like because you were so traumatized and couldn't talk, you were just always searching inward, and you almost became, dare I say, clairvoyant. Would that be right? Do you consider yourself clairvoyant?
I've never considered myself. I don't control as well if I have any kind of experiences. I don't control them. They happen like miracles, and they happen effortlessly. I don't do anything. I don't expect it. I don't plan it. If I try to do it, it never happens. It only happens when it's supposed to happen.
A very peaceful way to live. Very peaceful, right?
Sorry, I couldn't.
I said it's a very peaceful way to live.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's the final goal, isn't it? To find peace, inner peace, which will produce external peace, peace in your circumstances, peace in your relationships, that's the end goal. The purpose in life, whatever we need to achieve, is one thing, but it's only there in order to help us achieve the inner peace. Because when you're not scared, you're not you're at peace. You're not worried. There is no external circumstances, no internal enemies that can take you out of your peace.
Do you think that fear is the main reason people give up on their dreams?
Absolutely, 100%. Absolutely. You know, the Bible says that in love, there is no fear. So they're total opposites. If you love life, there is no fear. But before you can love life, you have to overcome all your fears. That's the purpose. That's how you grow as a person.
And how would you recommend someone do that?
To grow as a person?
No. How would you recommend someone overcome fears? You obviously had a great deal of fear, so, and you overcame it. What would you recommend? What would you say to someone who is listening right now that how they might, they're, you know, sort of frozen in fear? What would you say to them?
What I would say that people are scared of failure. And actually, failure is what gives you awareness about your limits. You can be limitless because the person inside of you, your external person is limited, but your internal person is not limited. Your internal person can achieve anything as long as you let it achieve anything. So when we fail, you think that we think that that's the end of the game. But actually, failure is simply awareness. Failure shows us.
So if someone is stuck in the fear and unsure how to break out of it, what would you, so I guess my question is, so what would you, as I said, as I asked you earlier, what would you recommend to help them dissolve that fear? I mean, you can't just say live in, you know, in the present and don't worry about the past. I mean, you're someone who's, you know, got racing thoughts and is very fearful, they're worried, you know, maybe the, you know, could be a mother that can't feed her children, whatever it is, you know, that people have real fears. What is your best advice? What little golden nugget can you give to our listeners that would help them to alleviate any fear they might be having?
My best advice is that there is an internal force inside of each one of us that is leading us towards achieving our best self. This internal force, it does not depend on us. It's like when you see a tree. This tree once has been a seed. Or if you see any plant, it has been a seed. And there is internal force in this seed that creates the end result, which is the tree or the plant. This is a very individual process. None of us will experience it exactly the same way. So our inner person will have to guide us through this journey step by step, depending on how much we are capable to endure. Because if you face more than what you can handle, this will break you. So your internal person, you have to learn how to listen to your internal person. And the very important thing is here, that your internal person, you can only hear, that's your spirit. You can only hear your spirit in the quiet.
That's right. So and do you meditate, I take it?
Yes, but not in a common sense. I just close myself and search answers inside myself. I don't do it in a way that following what other people are telling me meditation is. Like, I don't do breath work. I'm not saying if it's good or bad. I'm just saying that I'm not doing it. That's not my way. My way, I just close myself. I go for a walk in the nature. Mm-hmm. I listen to music. I listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. educational podcasts. Mm-hmm. I listen to inspirational talks. I have a very famous saying as well. If you want to burn, surround yourself with fire. Because single log doesn't burn. So if you want to achieve anything, go around people who have already achieved it. That's the way you will get inspired by what they have achieved. You'll get educated of how they have achieved it. You'll get eager and hungry to achieve what they have achieved. And you'll understand it's possible, because before this, you'll not believe it's possible. It's very important that you have to start believing it's possible, and this can happen only if you see it if it already has happened, if someone else has done it, you can do it too.
Right.
So surround yourself with fire, and then you'll burn.
Oh, very interesting. When you encounter fear in your life now, because you still are human, how do you handle it?
Exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. The difference is, at the beginning, you're more fearless when you're doing something for the first time, but you are unaware of how the process will go. Whilst later you become more mature, that's the difference between fearless and fierce. So the difference is, fearless, it's like young Alexander the Great. So he was fearless, but he was a young warrior, so he would have done something more dangerous. So that's why maybe his life didn't continue that long. But then when you're a mature warrior, but you have fought this battle so many times. So when you're fierce, you're mature, you can see it in advance, you can strategize, you can plan, you're really not scared anymore. Whilst fearless is a form of fear as well. I know this sounds controversial, but actually fearless, it's when you're so scared that you actually, it's like the wound becomes numb.
Right.
And you're still scared, but you become fearless because you have to do it. I have heard examples of a mother, her child gets run over by a car and she lifts the whole car.
Right.
To save the child.
Right.
That's fearless, but that's coming out of fear
right.
as well.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But we are going to take another break. We're coming into our last segment, but what I would like you to kind of think about during the break, and maybe you can answer this for our listeners, is how do you know if a risk is foolish or courageous?
Yeah.
Listeners, stay with us here. We will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Are you tired of looking tired, experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
From Fear to Fierce, How to Turn Failure into Success. That is the name of the book that we are discussing with the author, Ariel Vox. Ariel, welcome back to you. Thanks for joining the show tonight.
Hi, Francesca.
How do you know, I asked you before the break, if a risk is foolish, or just plain stupid, or courageous?
There is a very beautiful quote by Jeremy Goldberg. He says, courage is when you know something might hurt you, but you still choose to do it. Stupidity is...
stupidity.
Exactly the same thing.
It's just plain stupid.
Yes. Well, in the eyes of people who don't share your dream, every courageous act that you take will look like stupidity because they don't have your dream and they don't have to believe in your dream. That's why this dream is being given to you and not to them. There is a very, very close correlation, fine line between courage and stupidity, and I promise you will cross it many times. You simply cannot not make mistakes. It's impossible to be perfect, and actually perfection is the imitation because we are meant to be imperfect. Perfection leaves no space for creativity or imagination. We only achieve anything in this life. If you think of any invention, for example, it happened because something was not perfect. And then you have, like, the latest phone, and then the next year there is a better one, right?
Right.
Why? Because there was imperfection. So we need imperfection to be better humans. Perfection is one of the greatest limitations of the desire to be perfect.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. Yeah, perfectionists are, it's just, I think, another word for insecurity.
Yes, I agree. But I just want you to imagine the very first time when people attempted to fly, the very first time. Imagine someone is there announcing in the village that someone will be attempting to fly. And you go there at the field. I really want you to imagine yourself in this field and the people around you. And just think what people... Imagine no one has seen airplane before. Mm-hmm. Nothing. No flying machine of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
What people on the field were talking about before someone attempted to fly. They must have been saying that this is stupid. They must have been saying that this is dangerous and...
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth a risk not worth taking. And now we know the very first attempt to fly was not successful. So I want you to remember what the same people were talking after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Successful. They were talking, they were even more negative.
Right.
So there is a fine line between courage and stupidity. And if you follow your dream, you will cross it many times. But this should never stop you because you will never achieve anything unless you risk something. If you don't risk anything, you risk everything.
That's right.
And you will never risk anything and be perfect. It's not possible. So you will make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I have an interesting story many, many years ago, probably well over 20. I knew a woman that I worked with, and she was married for a very short period of time. And her husband cheated on her, and she found out, and they decided to get a divorce. It was a very short marriage, maybe 6 months. Then they found themselves back together again. However, it was really much more her pursuing the relationship. In fact, it was her. And not only was she pursuing it, but he was pushing her back, pushing her back, pushing her back, and she was just... unbelievable. She would not give up. And she was sort of almost at work, almost people would, I don't know if I would say laugh about it, but there was a lot of talk about, like, what is wrong with this woman? Why does she keep going after him? He's not interested. Anyway, fast forward to, I don't know, a lot of years later, like maybe 5 or 7 years later. And you know what? She just never gave up on him. And then he lost his mom, and then he lost his dad, and then he lost a brother. And then all of a sudden she was really very attractive, apparently, to him, because, you know, she was there and she was consistent. And guess what? They got married. And they're still married today. So it's just, the most, nobody, you know, probably just about anybody, if you ask 10 people, you know, what they thought, 10 out of 10 would say, she's nuts. But anyway, so much for that. But anyway, we are, since we're in our last segment and we're just running out of time here, I do want to just ask you that you mentioned our brain highways, quote unquote, work for us, you want them to work for us instead of against us. And so could you give us, you know, being mindful of the time frame that we have about 5 minutes left, what are some strategies you used to do that?
Okay. So I would try to be very fast, but exactly like the normal traffic highways, they're the fastest, easiest, most straightforward way from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And actually, in our brain, we built exactly the same thing, because we also, in our brain, we look for the fastest, easiest way to deliver information from one place to another. So that's called synapses in the brain, and that's how we form habits. And the thing is, we build good habits and we also build bad habits. And because the brain is used to when the brain has done something in a specific way, one time, second time, third time, it always go and does the thing exactly the same way. So that's why breaking a habit is really difficult, I would say impossible. But the good thing is, if you build this brain highway, you can also rebuild it, you can redevelop it, you can change it the way you want.
Wait, but how do you do that if you're saying it's impossible to break a habit? Or did I not hear you correctly?
You have to, yes. That's very correct. What you have to do when you have a blockage on the motorway, what do? You redirect the traffic. So you have to not try to destroy the habit, but replace it with a better replacement. You have to find
give us an actual example of what you mean. Just any example.
I will give you, we don't have a lot of time, I will give you an example from my life. I changed job, before I changed the job, I was driving on this motorway every single day, and every time it was full of traffic, and I had to wait and get upset and scared that I would be late for work and etc. And then I changed my job, and my new route was via a road that was only like a few meters away from the motorway, but there was absolutely no traffic on this road. And then I realized, never before even came to my mind that I don't have to drive on the motorway. I didn't even try to look for a different option. So when I discovered this other road, there was no traffic on this road, but I did not try to find this road. It just happened accidentally. So sometimes we have to search for a different option. We can do it voluntarily. We don't have to be forced. Chihar Faker says something very beautiful here. He says, you cannot be a victim and successful at the same time. You have to choose which one you want to be. So if you have the habit that you have built for years, this brain highway to be a victim, you cannot just break this. You have to replace it with a different motorway. You have to build a new motorway, or you have to rebuild this one. And from victim, you have to develop. And this is a process. You have to go through the personal transformation. But you have to not try to destroy being a victim, but instead to replace it with alternative. You have to offer a better alternative, which in this case is to be successful. You cannot be both of them. You either go on this motorway or you go on this motorway.
Right. Well, it's the same as saying you can't be grateful and depressed at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I just leave with this one last thought. A friend of mine said to me once, I don't understand why people have to feel that there's a need to punch through a door when they can just walk around it. Anyway, Arielle, it has been a pleasure having you as a guest on our show this evening. Really, really appreciate your all your knowledge. Her book, listeners, is From Fear to Fierce, How to Turn Failure into Success. There's still a little time left to read on that beach, so pick it up. And again, Ariel, thank you so much for your time.
And I thank you so much. You've been absolutely amazing, Francesca.
Oh,
thank you.
All right, listeners.
I had a really great time.
Thank you. All right, we need to wrap things up and say goodnight. And hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. If you missed part of the show, you can mosey on over to my iTunes page and listen there. And I will see you next week again. Same time, same place. Make it a great week.